Hi, this is Scott Wilkinson, host of Home Theater Geeks. In episode 117, I chat with Jeff Tully about THX Media Director. So stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Home Theater Geeks is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson, recorded June 25th, 2012. Episode 117, THX Media Director. This episode of Home Theater Geeks is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. Hey there, Scott Wilkinson here, online editor of hometheater.com. This week's guest geek is Jeff Tully, the technology development director at THX, who works on a new project there. Well, not so new, actually. It's been going on for a little while, called Media Director. But we're about to see the fruits of his labor. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Scott. It's good to, always good to talk to you, of course. Glad to be here.
Yes, and you as well. Jeff and I have known each other for a number of years and met up at trade shows and so on, and had always had very interesting conversations. So I thought, what better way to do another conversation with you than here on Home Theater Geeks. So, yes.
Oh, glad to do it.
Great. Fantastic. Those who are tuned into the live video stream at live.twit.tv or logged into the chat room at irc.twit.tv can post questions for Jeff, and I'll pass along as many as I can as we go along. So, Jeff, why don't you tell us, give us an overview. What is THX Media Director?
Okay. This is a technology that THX has been in development, as you pointed out, for a few years now. Moving a bit away from what I think most of this audience would be accustomed to in THX's business of our certified high-end home theater equipment, we have been looking for a way to make the consumer experience with selecting all of the various playback settings on devices a little bit more straightforward, a little bit easier, and came up with the idea that if we could get information about content to the devices that would tell them what type of content is playing, the devices then would have the ability to determine what the correct playback settings for that particular piece of content would be. And in a nutshell, that's what Media Director is about. It's about connecting the characteristics of content to the devices that are playing it back and allow an automatic transition from one playback setting to another.
Well, this certainly is a big problem with consumers. That is, AV receivers and TVs have gotten so complicated with so many settings, and that's certainly the bulk of the questions I get is, how do I set up for this or that or one thing or another? And you have to dig down through layers and layers of menus, and it's really kind of a pain in the knee in the you-know-what. So if I'm not mistaken, that's exactly what Media Director is trying to automate so that consumers don't really have to do that drill down, right?
That's exactly right, Scott. And I think one thing for both of us to recognize, too, is that the reason these devices in the living room have gotten so complex is not because the manufacturers are out to bedevil our lives. In fact, what they've been doing is adding features and functions on one end to allow the home theater to play back all of the different kinds of content that's being delivered to the homes these days. I mean, we at one point have broadcast television, and that was kind of it. We added videotapes, and that was sort of, well, switched between one and the other. With DVD, cloud service, cable, satellite, increasing number of forms and formats of delivering content to the living room, The devices actually have been keeping up. They've been adding buttons to the remotes, as you say, adding levels to the menus. And I think most, certainly any high-end home system, but even many of the lower cost ones today can find a playback setting that's right for all of these varied types of content. But all of these types of content aren't the same. You know, the premium services, your Blu-ray disc, this high-def downloads have one set of characteristics. Your game systems may be equally good in quality, but they're encoded differently. And there are buttons on your remotes that let you activate those features. What we're looking at in Media Director is a way to send information about that content that takes that menu browsing out of the equation while not sacrificing either the playback quality or the variety or the qualities of the devices.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly the different types of content now that we have, streaming, Blu-ray, cable, satellite, over the air, all have somewhat different characteristics. And certainly one of the challenges I have as a reviewer of televisions is how do I calibrate the TV for these different types of content, which might have different color characteristics, black levels, and so on. And I think what you're saying is that Media Director kind of takes care of that for us now.
Two steps. Number one, the calibrating, making sure that the device you brought home is set up correctly. Put it in the living room, connect the wires to the right places. All of that, you don't automate that. You still need to know which devices you have and get them plugged together and set them up. And as you say, for the different kinds of color characteristics, the Blu-ray has its own color space. Your PlayStation games can actually now generate even a broader color spectrum than what is delivered on Blu-ray. And once you've got the device set up to play each of these modes correctly, the trick is then as you want to select the right mode for the particular piece of content you're watching at one moment. And that's the where Media Director steps in, as we send that content information across the wire and let the device know what's playing at the moment it goes into the correct playback setting.
Well, let's come up with a couple of examples here. F-Loop in the chat room is saying he'd really like to get some examples of what we're talking about to see what the power of this is.
Sure. On Blu-ray disc, for example, the Blu-ray discs are encoded to a color space, a Rec. 709. As you were saying, you get some settings, black level, peak white, the framing of the picture on the screen, the aspect ratio of the actual picture, so that when you have that as information in the Media Director metadata and send that to the display, you'll see the picture properly framed and the playback mode correctly set. Mm-hmm. If you go to switch over, for example, to a game system, you may be generating your color in an extended color space at that point, which is generating a larger number of colors. And in the playback of the game, you may have a personal preference of setting for games to have maybe the black level lifted so you can see details in the shadows, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And these would be saved. Most TV sets have a game mode that you can actually tweak a little bit and make it have your own personal preferences reflected. What mm-hmm. Media Director would bring in this environment is when you are playing the title on your Blu-ray player, your TV set would go into that THX cinema mode or the appropriate movie mode with the color space rendered correctly. And when you switch over to the game system playing from your PlayStation, that game mode metadata and some of the other technical parameters of the color space would allow the TV set to switch to that other playback mode automatically. Mm-hmm.
And we should make sure that everyone understands that what we're talking about here is taking a piece of content, say a Blu-ray movie or a video game or a broadcast show or a video stream online, and embedding certain pieces of what we call metadata, which describe how the content was created and how it's supposed to be played back. And that's really what Media Director is responding to, is this metadata that's embedded within the actual content, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And part of the system, of course, part of the challenge from our perspective is working with the people who are developing and authoring, preparing and distributing the content to enable that side of the picture as well. The information that is needed in the living room is something that's known at the time you're creating the content. A Blu-ray authoring facility, QC facilities, know very well what their production targets are. They calibrate their working equipment to a particular level and then make sure that it looks exactly right. And so we're working with them to capture that information about the content and mm-hmm. then deliver that information along with the content over whichever delivery vehicle you're taking, and get that to the living room where the device, the playback devices, your Blu-ray player, your streaming media player, get that information, and then they pass it generally over an HDMI link to the AV receiver, the TV sets.
Mm-hmm. So we're really talking about three stages here. We're talking about content creation and embedding metadata into the content itself. The delivery of the content with the metadata, and then playback, or what is more technically called rendering of the content using the metadata to set up the playback system in a way that is appropriate for that particular content.
Excellent. Hey, you must have read one of our scripts.
is... but well, you got some great information. You've got some great information on your website, and I would definitely recommend that people who want to learn more about it go to thx.com and find your way to the media director page. The actual URL to get there is pretty long, so I will let people... here, those of you who are watching the video can see now we have the website online, content creation, distribution, and playback. There they are. Londog in the chat room is asking... we need some kind of audio level calibration standard that will allow us to integrate all devices and switching sources and not change the volume levels so much. I hear this all the time, you know, the difference between one channel, one broadcast channel and another, or between the program material, the volume level, and then the commercials. Does Media Director address that at all?
We don't specifically go at the how do you get everyone to agree on a commonality. But mm-hmm. I do believe going forward that signaling certain information about the content and the level that it has, the audio levels that it's mastered to, if you will, can be a part of addressing that solution. And we certainly hope so. What we are at the stage we're at right now, creating this information about content, this metadata, is trying to put as much information as we can get at that authoring and creation stage and work with the manufacturers, the device manufacturers, to recognize that such information can be made available to them and that they can then use that to make these adjustments in playback settings that respond to that larger consumer wish to have things work right every time and automatically. So I do see... as we get more and more devices that have the ability to receive metadata and act on it, that we can move to the kind of specific user requirements that you're referring to, find a way mm-hmm. to communicate the information about the content and then allow the devices. Obviously, they have a volume control. They have the ability to set that, but they don't necessarily know where the audio level is set for a particular piece of program content. Mm-hmm. I think in that regard, yes, we can work with both the content side and the device side and establish this channel of communication and hopefully help work toward that kind of a solution.
Yeah. Beatmaster in the chat room is asking about sample to sample variation. You know, that when you go from one TV to another of the same model or one receiver to another, they're supposed to be the same, but there are tolerances, and they aren't quite the same, not quite the same color. NTSC used to stand for never the same color twice, or never twice the same color. We're better now, I think, with HDTV, but still, I see it all the time, that there is a difference from one device to another. Does Media Director address that at all, or I can't see how it really could?
Yeah, at this stage, no. I think, again, when we get enough manufacturers becoming accustomed to the fact that you can send information and react to it related to the content, we do believe that we can then expand that a little bit to go into supporting auto calibration. But at this stage, no, we're about getting to the correct playback setting in a properly set up and calibrated device. So you still, you know, you're still going to want to do your appropriate calibration and setup of the device when you bring it home and install it. And that's really today where you get the variances from one device to the other. You get it and maybe put it in its factory presets as a starting point, but then put some good reference content in on the device, you know, to play back some representative test patterns or colors and make the fine adjustments that make that particular set look correct. And frankly, you're also at that point adjusting it for the viewing environment that you're in. Your own living room may be lit differently from someone else's, and that does have an effect on how that display is going to look in your living room.
Right, exactly. Rudy in the chat room is asking, so it's in the Blu-ray disc as extra data? And the answer is yes, but it brings up a question in my mind, which is, how much data are we talking about? I mean, is this going to impact the amount of information that you can store on a Blu-ray disc?
On a Blu-ray disc, the typical ones that we're offering these days, we're looking at something in the orders of hundreds of bytes. maybe a few K bytes worth of data. We do have this kind of conversation before we start putting metadata on a title. The authoring company will typically say, well, we need to know exactly how big the file is going to be so we can calculate our bitrate. When we get done with the conversation, they realize it falls below the round-off error. It has no impact on the data space of a Blu-ray disc and the metadata files, frankly, for a Blu-ray title as compared to a download file, are potentially much larger because you can put more different kinds of content on a Blu-ray disc. You can have some sections that are standard def, some that are high def, many, many multiple audio tracks, that kind of thing. Whereas typically a streamed file is one or two audio channels and a single program file for the video. Mm-hmm. But even in the complicated case of a heavily loaded Blu-ray disc, now the number of bytes of data, K bytes of data, is minimal as far as capacity of the disc.
And yet, if I understand it correctly, you can actually represent a lot of information with very few kilobytes.
Yes, we can get enough information there to allow a broad spectrum of types of content, technical parameters to be communicated to display.
What types of parameters really are we talking about? Give me some examples of the specific parameters that would be communicated.
Sure. We're looking at characteristics of the picture geometry. That's pixel shapes, the number of pixels per line of the active picture, the part of the picture that you care about. We identify bar data, both top and bottom and left and right, so that if a picture, for example, for whatever reason is surrounded by black and you want to communicate to the display that it's okay to zoom in and show that image proportionally, completely filling the screen in one dimension, top, bottom, or left, right, you have enough data to do that. We carry the gamma level, the peak white, the black levels, so that a calibrated set could be adjusted to show the images correctly.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a moment ago about geometry and related aspect ratio. I'm thinking about certain television channels that are sent in 4x3, so you have black bars on the sides of a 16x9. TV, and then they show a 16x9 image within that. So there are black bars all around that image. And what you're saying is that Media Director could have some data that says it's okay to expand this out to 16x9 and lose all those black bars.
Yes, exactly. In fact, a lot of old DVD titles that were made when 4x3 was the dominant TV set in our living rooms were made in what were called letterboxed format as opposed to the anamorphic that spreads out to 16 by 9. The letterbox format was exactly what you described, the 4 by 3 image with bars embedded in the top and the bottom. And then a current generation DVD or Blu-ray player will play that disc back. And you'll see the bars on the left and right put in by the player to fit the 16 by 9 screen they're connected to, and the bars in the top and bottom. And Media Director exactly communicates enough information about the picture to allow a proportional zoom to bring that image as close to full screen as your particular TV set permits.
As long as the scaling is good, because there are only a relatively few number of pixels in that image. And scaling it up to 1920 by 1080 could cause some scaling artifacts. But, of course, that's not in THX's purview.
Right. No, that's the level of the feature in the device. And that is, I think, a good point to raise, Scott, is that Media Director isn't going to make the content any different. If you've got a perfectly made Blu-ray disc, putting Media Director metadata on it doesn't make it a better disc.
Right.
It makes it... increases the probability that when you play that disc, you're going to see it play back in the right playback mode, not the leftover mode from the game you were playing earlier. So if you've got letterboxed, standard def video content on your DVD or the cable channel, as you mentioned, it's going to look the right size, but not necessarily all the detail. You're not going to be able to put that back in there. And indeed, right. That may be a preference setting that the consumer can adjust. There is I prefer to see it, in this way or that way. The metadata simply gives us the ability to communicate that information to the living room and again, automate that process.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings up another question that I was going to ask, which is, can the consumer override the metadata and tweak their system to be different than what it is specifying?
Yes, and that's part of what we have the manufacturers build into the sets, is the ability to turn that metadata recognition on and off. And I also did mention a couple times now the ability to take those customizable modes that many sets have now, a movie mode, a game mode, mm-hmm. and so on. And those you can have factory presets, or many of them you can go in and in your own environment, change some of those settings and then save those, so that your game preset isn't necessarily what came from the factory. It's what you like with your particular game system. Mm-hmm. And so when the game metadata comes in, it can go to that saved mode, not to some factory preset or exactly the mode that's encoded in the metadata on the game.
Mm-hmm. Would I be correct in summarizing Media Director as being congruent with THX's overall mission of reproducing content as closely as possible to what the content creator intended, the director or the artist or whatever? My impression of THX is that's really your overall mission, to reproduce as accurately as possible what was intended in the creation of the content.
And that's correct. From the founding of the company, and actually another stage of that too, working with content creators to create the content in a high quality way. Much of the early THX was in creating standards and specifications for color grading rooms and mixing rooms, so that the content could be created at a very high quality. And then at the other end, of course, what we're widely known for, the theater alignment program, setting up movie theaters to reproduce that sound accurately. As mm-hmm. we've moved into consumer electronics, the THX certified devices, again, consistent with that, how do we set and measure and then communicate to the consumer these particular devices have characteristics and features that allow them to faithfully reproduce that high quality content? And Media Director grows out of that. Then how do I get the right setting out of that great variety to be turned on in the devices, apropos the particular piece of content that's being played at that time? So yes, mm-hmm. it's a very consistent with that move that's been there throughout the company's history.
Right. Virgil in the chat room is asking, does THX still help in the setup of movie theaters? And I think the answer is yes.
The answer is very much yes. You can visit our website and see a list of theaters that have THX certified. Pretty much, I think all of them also keep a plaque on the entrance to the particular theater. In a multiplex, for example, not necessarily every room is THX certified. Those mm-hmm. that are singled out. And if you see at the beginning of a movie the THX trailer that comes up, our Deep Note
logo
sound, mm-hmm. You know you're in a room that's been set up and graded with the THX program. Those are the rooms where that are allowed to play that trailer ahead of a movie.
Now, this is a question not related to media director, but rather to the theater program. You may or may not be able to answer it, but I've been writing this week about Dolby Atmos, which is this new sound system that puts speakers overhead as well as around the audience to provide a three-dimensional sound field. And first movie to use that is Brave, which just opened this last weekend. Is THX working with Dolby at all on that, or are they completely separate?
If we are working with them, it's in an area that's separate from the parts that I'm working on. I've, like you've been seeing a lot of internet chatter on the technology, and mm-hmm. sounds quite impressive. Certainly in other areas, and I know, Scott, you know this, but frequently we see people that say, well, you've got all of these different audio technologies in whether it's consumer or theater, you know, DTS and Dolby and, of course, THX. And people speak as if we were another codec, you know, and a
right.
technology that encodes. And, of
right.
course, we're not. And we do work in our consumer electronic products to ensure that whatever the codec that's employed for sound, DTS or Dolby or any others, that they're appropriately and faithfully reproduced by a THX-certified device. In video space, likewise, we don't have a THX video codec, but when we worry about displays showing pictures correctly, the standards cut across the various proprietary technologies that are involved. Our goal is make sure that creative intent, however encoded, is delivered to the consumer as faithfully as possible using mm-hmm. the tools and the technology of the devices the consumer owns.
Yes, I've written about this. I've talked about it on Leo Laporte's radio show, that a lot of people do make that mistake of thinking that THX and Dolby and DTS are equivalent. They're doing the same thing, but in fact, they're not. Dolby and DTS have competing codecs, coder-decoder, audio coder-decoder systems. THX can ride on top of either one or anything else just to make sure that the playback is as good as it possibly can be. Rudy in the chat room is asking, is Media Director a hardware device or software or is it run on a computer?
It's not a specific hardware device. It does live in content, as you were describing. It's metadata, it's information that's added, carried as a data file on a Blu-ray disc or a DVD. It can be encoded in streaming files or downloadable files. But then it does, when it gets to the living room, your devices need to be Media Director literate. They need to know what that the metadata is there, that it's being carried on the content. It needs to be read from the content. And then let's say you're working with a Blu-ray disc as an example. The Blu-ray player would need to know to look for that data file. It opens that file as the content plays, and then it takes the metadata messages and puts them into the HDMI data stream, that digital interconnect between your Blu-ray player and AV mm-hmm. receiver, the TV set. And there's a place where information metadata bits go into that data flow and then get mm-hmm. to the next device. And then, of course, the receiving device, the AVR and the TV set, need to know to look for those particular bits, and then they map those, the settings that they see communicated in the information messages, they map that to their playback settings in that particular mm-hmm. device.
F-Loop in the chat room is asking about, doesn't HDMI already transmit metadata? And maybe this Media Director metadata should just be put in the next HDMI standard? What do you think?
HDMI is a transport spec. It describes the sending of bits from one device to another in a living room environment. And indeed, there are bits in that data stream that are metadata. They're not the content. They're information about the content. Part of the negotiation that happens as you plug your HDMI TV set to a Blu-ray player, the two devices chat with each other, if you will, to establish the playback resolution. How, you know, the TV set will say, I'm this kind of TV, I have this much resolution, and the Blu-ray player can respond to that. And
right, that's called, called, you'll hear the term EDID, Extended Display Identification, which is what you're talking about, I think, right?
Yes. The display sends that EDID message to the Blu-ray player, and the Blu-ray player reacts appropriately, and that's a necessary part of the communication that takes place. And there are bits that are established and defined in the HDMI spec that are relevant to the kind of playback settings we've been talking about for Media Director, and so we use those bits. And, you know, when a system is Media Director compliant, it means that the source device, the player, has been instructed, taught to set certain bits in the in that HDMI stream. Some of them are bits that are already defined. Some of the bits that we have defined in the Media Director schema did not exist as pre-assigned data bits in HDMI. But HDMI does have the ability to add what are called vendor-specific info frames, packets of data that can be defined outside of what's in the spec, and that's the mechanism that we've used.
You don't expect HDMI to come out with a new version with Media Director's specified bits in it, do you? You're just planning to continue to use those vendor-specific data frames?
We do plan to keep doing it the way we have been doing it. Those of you who are familiar with when HDMI adapted itself to communicate information about 3D, prior to 3D coming into the home, of course, there were no sources of 3D content for living room, and there were no bits in the HDMI relative to signaling that. As HDMI and the manufacturers who participated in that group were building the Blu-ray 3D format and preparing for some of the cable and satellite 3D formats, they used that same mechanism, that vendor-specific info frame. There is an HDMI vendor-specific info frame that carries many bits of information relative to communicating about 3D content and allowing TV sets to react to those bits and go into playback modes for different kinds of broadcast 3D or the Blu-ray format, the very high-quality 3D. Mm-hmm. So we basically have utilized the same mechanism that the HDMI LLC group did for communicating yet additional metadata bits.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk next about where we are with Media Director currently and when we'll start seeing actual product and content. But before we do, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode, which is Netflix. We may very well see Media Director coming streaming from Netflix at some point in the not too distant future. But for now, you can certainly stream thousands of TV movies, episodes and TV shows and movies directly to your TV or your computer or your smartphone or tablet using just about any consumer electronics device in the world right now. Blu-ray players, TVs themselves, gaming consoles, as I said, smartphones and tablets, computers, just about any device you can buy these days that has to do with audio and video probably has the Netflix app on it, allowing you to stream instantly directly into whatever device you want to watch it, to consume it on. You can even start on one device and finish on another, which is the ultimate inconvenience, not to mention no waiting for discs or putting them in the player or anything like that. It just streams directly to your device instantly, saving you time, money, and hassle. And for our listeners, you can sign up for a 30-day free trial. Those few of you who might be hearing my voice and not experienced with Netflix so far, just go to netflix.com/twit and sign up for that 30-day free trial. Be sure to use that URL, netflix.com/twit. And we thank Netflix very much for their support of Home Theater Geeks and the entire Twit network. So tell us, where are we with the development of Media Directory? Is it already available, or does the are content providers, content creators using it? Are there devices that will understand it? Is it being transmitted? What's the state of the art right now?
On the state of the art right now is, yes, there are pieces of content being created that have metadata actually on them. The first such product was the Star Wars box set Blu-ray discs. And since then, the both the DVD and Blu-ray versions of Red Tails released recently. There are several other titles in authoring and production. Our friend Mark Waldrop over at AIX Media has put Media Director metadata on I think about a half a dozen of his titles now. Some of them, some of his 3D concerts. The Mozart was the first one that carried Media Director metadata. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have seen his recent release, the Mars 3D, which I think is a fascinating piece of content that also carries our metadata, as do some of his traditional 2D releases that have been coming out over the last month and will continue to. Mark's not only the owner and the producer of that content, AIX Media is an authoring facility, and they have been creating the metadata files and placing those on their titles.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I should mention that Mark Waldrop has been a guest on this show more than once, and he produces some of the very best concert videos on Blu-ray. With superb audio quality. Really, it's audio file quality music with accompanying Blu-ray, and in some cases high definition, in some cases 3D video. And I'm very glad to hear that he is among the vanguard of those who are starting to put Media Director metadata on his discs. He is definitely a pioneer in many ways, and so I'm not all that surprised, but I'm very glad to hear it.
Yeah, no, we've been pleased. We've been working actually with Mark when he first shot a lot of that 3D programming, and I know you visited him on set, I think, for one of the productions.
I did.
And we were using not only the Blu-ray now that these are being authored and released carrying the metadata, but we actually used side-by-side and over-under 3D, the cable-oriented kind of broadcast versions of 3D. To develop some proof of concept of our technology for cable use and the like, to show that the technology that we're building here will be applicable beyond just optical discs and streaming media, but also into the broadcast space. Mm-hmm. But as to your question, where are we now? We are releasing titles. Kino Lorber is another producer that has just released a title, and part of what's been important for many of these partners is the tools that create metadata. We have built some that we provide from THX. It's a relatively straightforward process, but in the case of DVD and Blu-ray authoring, many companies prefer to use the full professional suite of tools. In DVD and Blu-ray, Sonic Solutions, now Rovi Corp, mm-hmm. builds a set of tools that are very well known, Sonarist, and now the Rovi Total Code product. And their DVD and Blu-ray products include the ability right in the authoring system to build the Media Director metadata and add it to a title. Mm-hmm. The Kino Lorber one that I mentioned was actually used Sonarist to author that metadata. With Star Wars and Red Tails, we were working with Deluxe Media, the authoring facility, that does not use the Sonarist for their workflow on Blu-ray titles. So they used a tool that we provided to build the metadata. But we are working with Sony. The Blueprint authoring tool is another one that is used by a number of facilities, and that will have a release this late July, early August. We understand that we'll have Media Director built into that authoring tool. So mm-hmm. we're building the infrastructure. We're working with the authoring facilities. I mentioned Deluxe and AIX, but Refine Group in the UK is another company that's offering that service to their mm-hmm. to their clients.
Related to authoring, Beatmaster in the chat room is asking, will this ever be available to consumers, budding filmmakers, people who use Final Cut, maybe even to do their own home movies, or you know, want to start creating their stuff at the prosumer level, perhaps. Is this ever going to trickle down to that level?
We absolutely intend to get it to every level of content creation that we can. And certainly anybody that's interested in exploring that in an early stage at this level, we, you know, our email address and link is on our website. We'd be happy to talk with people. We have looked at getting this content metadata put into kind of consumer-oriented tools, and that's not yet something that's been announced, but I believe it will get to be a very interesting possibility as we get more and more TV sets and Blu-ray players, devices that implement it. I think the consumer interest will be quite high, and we are absolutely going to be supporting that from THX's side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about in the delivery phase? Are you at a point where the metadata can be broadcast, streamed? Obviously, it can be put on Blu-ray because it already has been. What about the other transport mechanisms?
Yeah, we have worked actually with Rovi Corporation not only on their authoring tool end, but on their movie service. The Rovi Entertainment Store has about 15,000 titles, I believe, movies in their database now that actually feeds a number of different storefront services. And that back end data, the server is holds the metadata and is capable of streaming it to the playback devices. Rovi is also built into the what they call their developer kit, the software that runs in a TV set or a Blu-ray player to play back those movies, to put the code to receive that metadata. And we and they together are working with a few partners now to activate that functionality in the devices. So the content side, putting metadata into content, is well underway, and the Rovi is the first that's actually completed this. But we are developing. We have specifications that we have for putting Media Director with other forms of streaming and downloadable media, and we expect to see some other services announcing their ability to support that, both on the content side and the player side, between now and the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. And then what about on the playback end? AV receivers, TVs, Blu-ray players, where are we with that?
You've seen actually with us, Scott. I know that you got by to CSS CDN and saw the first playback of the Star Wars discs. Dune HD, a company that makes media players and the top end of their media player lineup, has a couple of top models, have Blu-ray players in them, Blu-ray DVD players. They were the first to show a device with Media Director integrated into a source playback device. They worked with Sigma Designs manufacturers, the chip that's inside those units and helps facilitate the programming. And we've been working with not only Sigma, but Silicon Image, Analog Devices, and now three or four other manufacturers that we think will be announcing Media Director support between now and the CEDIA this September timeframe. Mm-hmm. And that's going to enable building more of these playback source devices, Blu-ray players and media players. Beyond that, we do have a number of AVR manufacturers that are in stages now of integrating Media Director into forthcoming product. None that have announced the particular model number or ship dates, but they are have been working with Analog Devices on a reference design AVR that's in their chipset, and a couple of other manufacturers in that space. So we do expect to see three or four AVRs, I think, again, within the CEDIA to CES timeframe coming forward. And then on the TV set side, display side, again, you saw it at CEDIA, I think, the Sharp Elite Display that they were that they had embedded Media Director for purposes of our presentations and demos. They are working with us for integration into shipping product that'll come again for they, for Epson and a few other display manufacturers. Again, between now and CES, we'll see a number of different both projectors and flat panel displays that'll be integrating the Media Director functionality.
So there are none currently available.
Not currently shipping to consumers. That's right.
Right. But, you know, as you say, Cydia is only, 3 months away, less. And 10 weeks, I think. Oh, my goodness. I will be seeing you there, I'm sure, eh?
We will. I think we probably both just got a reminder we need to book our flights.
Yeah, I just did last week, actually. And the prices are going up, so you might want to hurry up on that one. Yep. But in any event, yes. Yeah, so at the Cydia trade show, the Custom Electronics Design and Installation Association in Indianapolis, hopefully we will see some products that actually have a Media Director in them, which people will be able to buy probably towards the end of the year if things are as they normally are. And but then we'll really start to see this whole idea of transmitting and delivering this metadata from the content through the pipeline to the consumer and have it have their system set itself properly without having to dive into menus, as we were talking about earlier. Lawndog in the chat room is asking, what about if the source is old, like something from the 70s or even more recent? This was a question I had too. Even more recent files that don't have the Media Director metadata embedded, is there anything that can be done with those? I mean, I guess they could be re-encoded onto DVD or whatever, just add the data to it. Is there something that can be done to reprocess it and make it better?
Well, the making better part is, yes, they're reprocessing and re-encoding that may be able to adjust the content, and then adding Media Director metadata to signal what you've readjusted it to would be something that would be very straightforward. In terms of if content is coming through digital channels, but it was sourced from something that's very old, yes, Media Director could be added into the workflow. One of the things, and I think we may not have been showing this, Scott, at demos you've seen, but even Blu-ray titles or DVD titles that were authored, you know, 2 or 3 years ago don't have metadata physically on the disc. We do have built into the technology the ability to detect what disc is playing. There are a number of different systems out there that can do that, tell you you're playing a particular title, and we can build the metadata file separately and bring it in by an internet connection. Again, many of your listeners are probably familiar with metadata being delivered with iTunes products, the jacket art for your CD, like that. There are services that do that. Well, delivering, you know, we kind of talked about how big is the Media Director metadata, and it's way smaller than the list of performers on a CD in terms of digital size. So adding that into some sort of delivery system to be able to send a metadata file once you know what particular piece of content you're working with is pretty easy to do. Building the metadata is not complicated. We have built, just to prove that, a database of 1,200 DVD titles that we have that can be either loaded onto a memory stick and read in a player that way, or can be downloaded on over an internet connection so that a DVD Blu-ray player could get updates there. And we are working with almost a half a dozen studios now doing a similar thing in Blu-ray. If you have a BD Live function authored onto a disc that was made 2-3 years ago, we can work with the studio and add the Media Director metadata into the online file. And when the disc goes online to access that BD Live content, the metadata file gets updated, and by the time the disc player plays it back, it looks like the metadata was already on the disc. There's no difference.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's actually pretty cool. Then you can take a disc that doesn't have this metadata on it, and as long as the player is connected to the internet, which most of them are these days, you have the potential anyway to download that data and use it even if it's not on the disc.
Correct. And your reaction was exactly mine when I saw I worked the first time. This is very cool. And it really had it had very little to do with anything that we did other than create the file and put it in a particular place in the disc structure. BD Live actually, in the way it was designed, didn't have to be modified or adjusted in any way to support this functionality. It was designed and built in a way that that anticipated a desire to bring files that weren't known when the specs were written. And so our file just appears in the player, and a Media Director enabled player looks there, finds the file, and does what it would do if it found it on the disk.
PC Guru in the chat room asks, how do you feel about digitally delivered movies? Do you think that Blu-ray disc will stay around for a while? This is the age-old question, of course, is are we seeing the end of physical media?
If you're asking me personally, I think Blu-ray is going to hang around for a long time. I come out of the Laserdisc side of Pioneer Electronics. While the bridge between DVD to Laserdisc, you know, pretty much eliminated Laserdisc, it did that because DVD delivered all of the things that people came to value in Laserdisc and improved on form factor and other things like that. But I think packaged media in its ability to deliver a huge number of bits in an extraordinarily reliable manner, I think it's going to stick around for quite a while. I think the streamed media and downloadable files deliver a level of convenience, and they are increasing in their ability to deliver quality. But at least what I see in working with the people that are authoring and creating the Blu-ray titles, they are putting that kind of special extra effort into creating that content with the idea that the consumer will get the maximum exposure, you know, not only to the movie, but the bonus content, the
right.
live functionality and so on.
And, the high-res audio.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think... Yeah, I think all of these are going to coexist, and that's really, again, where Media Director comes in. If I thought the whole world was going to go to one kind of content, ultimately, everything's streaming or everything's Blu-ray or whatever, there's less need to put the metadata on the disc. You'd simply have one kind of content. Your TV set would be hooked to one kind of channel, and it would just always be right. Where Media Director came in about in the first place was seeing the diversity of content. And when we started this project, it was the diversity of content was cable and broadcast and DVD and a little bit of early streaming content. You know, HD, DVD, and Blu-ray came along after the Media Director element had started, and it only increased the likelihood that content would get more diverse. And then we got 3D, and now we're getting the launch of Ultraviolet, and we're going to see other new kinds of content. And I think that's a great thing. The ability of the living room devices, you don't go to the store and say, I'm going to buy an amplifier in order to listen to audio that comes over my broadcast. And I buy a different amplifier for my Blu-ray collection. You know, that would be madness, which is why we have so much variety in the devices. I think it's good that the devices are adapting to the variety of content. The fact that the variety of content is going to continue to grow, really that the challenge that we face on the Media Director side is how do we find the way to integrate our metadata mechanisms into each of these different content delivery technologies so that we can offer this ease of use across the board to the whole spectrum of content. And the reactions that we've been getting to that message have been quite positive. When we go to talk to somebody that's building an encoding device, or they're coming up with an idea for a particular streaming service, they understand the challenge of making sure that it shows up in the living room looking the way they intended. And so they see Media Director as a very viable component of their forward-looking plans.
Well, it certainly is the age-old question of convenience versus quality, and I do agree with you that I expect both to survive and coexist for a long time, because there are situations where you want convenience, and there are other situations where you want quality, the highest possible quality. And to be able to choose is, after all, a very good thing. Choice is a good thing, but with choice comes complications, complexity. And this is what I think Media Director is trying to address. Beatmaster in the chat room made a good comment. Hang on, Jeff is saying there is an actual useful usage for BD Live?
Yes, at least one.
Yeah, at least one. Yes, exactly.
And actually, we've been playing with some of the, in order to do these tests with a couple of the studios. For me, it's been I knew the theory of BD Live, but hadn't spent a lot of time using connected players. There are actually some titles out there that have some nice BD Live features already built onto them. Might give it another look.
Lawndog in the chat room is asking, will this media director be able to be updated with things that are coming in the future, like perhaps Dolby Atmos for the home? We don't expect that for some time yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if we do get an overhead speaker system at some point from Dolby or somebody, or perhaps 4K. I mean, I can't imagine that this wouldn't be extensible.
It is extensible, and we actually did that once already when 3D started coming into to the home theater environment. Actually, prior to the HDMI release of 3D signaling, we had already developed a fairly extensive set of metadata flags that we anticipated would be used in broadcast and other forms for 3D. And so our data structures included signals for 3D before we actually knew that people were going to be encoding and delivering it. So when the HDMI bits became available, if you will, the ones we were talking of earlier, we already knew that how to hold those bits in on a Blu-ray disc or a DVD or a stream content. We had to just tweak our spec to say, put the meaning that you know about this particular content in these HDMI bits. The parts that they did not describe, we had to have some of our bits used for that purpose. There are, for example, the HDMI will tell you that you have this broadcast quality 3D side by side and top bottom. It won't tell you is the left eye the dominant one or the right eye. In broadcast, there's pretty much a set standard spec. You do the left eye as the dominant eye, but in the 3D encoders that you could use, so you could stream content built either way. We carry a bit that says you can go with one or the other. A company called Sensio and our friends over at Dolby both have developed additional quality-oriented encoding technologies to enhance and improve the quality of 3D in those broadcast environments. The bits to signal to your devices that content was encoded using one or another of those technologies are not in the HDMI 3D bits, but they are in ours. So we complement their signaling and extend it in an area. And I absolutely expect us to continue to do that. These new audio formats are a key area that we're already looking at and talking to the manufacturers who are building the devices. What information do we need to send to you in order for you to automatically turn on some of these new functions and features?
Well, it sounds like a fabulous system. I really can't wait to, give it a try and see what comes of it in the various rooms that I have access to. And that brings up another question, actually. Would media director be able to take into account the room in which one is? Say, for example, you take a microphone and plug it into your AVR and run Odyssey or Pioneer MCACC or whatever. Will media director take into account any of that?
The media director implementation in a device, absolutely. It would, what media director brings into the device is information about the particular piece of content that you're watching. So the device then would take that information and add it to the information that it may be able to detect or discern about the environment. Right now, there's a level of that starting to be put in TV sets, either by a switch or by an auto detector, knowing the room light level, ambient light. When you calibrate a display, you want to calibrate it in a room that is lit the way you're going to watch your movies. And you may have two different ways of watching, so you may calibrate a bright room and a dark room and switch between those modes. Adding the ability to switch between those modes with a light sensor in the room adds to then, if I'm bringing in a movie that has a particular gamma and a particular black level, and I'm in my bright room mode, then the TV set would be able to use its characteristics to say, then this is going to be the right setting and make those adjustments. Mm-hmm. So we're symbiotic with it, with that. And absolutely that is, again, another piece of the whole ecosystem that that we are already working with the manufacturers and the content folks in developing that.
Right. Well, it's a fascinating subject and a technology that I certainly look forward to seeing more of. I guess we'll see more of it at Cedia and in products rolling out towards the end of the year or maybe next year. And I'm certainly looking forward to trying them.
Well, Scott, we're always glad to speak with you and show you where we are in developing this technology, and appreciate the opportunity here to send this information out to your viewers as well.
Great. Thank you so much. Jeff Tully is the media director at THX. And you can get more information about it at THX.com. Jeff, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Scott.
My online home, of course, is hometheater.com. You can email me at scott@twit.tv. And you can follow me on Twitter at htgeekscott. This is our last show from this particular studio. Next week, I will be moving my podcast studio to another room in my home where we won't have the bandwidth freezing issues that we've had from here. And I think at this point, what I'm planning to do is simply be there with you, show you around a little bit, answer questions from the chat room. And it'll be a free-for-all. Any and all topics related to home theater or audio and video will be fair game. So I do hope you'll join me for that. This is my last podcast from this studio. Next week, I will be in my new studio at home, broadcasting at the new time of 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern. And I will be basically hanging with the chat room. I'll show you my new studio, and we'll be talking. I'll be answering questions from the chat room. Anything you care to ask is all fair game, as long as it has to do with audio or video, home theater, anything along those lines. I would be very happy to chat with you about that. So I do hope you'll join me. Until then, geek out.